Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
You're listening to eWater Radio, KEWR-DB.
What's up, everyone? You are listening to the Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show on eWater Radio, KEWRDB, where I will feature the hottest topics in regards to nutrition, sports, and fitness. Before we start the show, I want to give you a couple of shout-outs. As I always do, all the folks that know how I roll with Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show, you know how I do. The first shout-out goes to all the birthdays out there. Hope you do it up big. Enjoy your special day for the entire month. Don't just have a birthday and celebrate yourself the whole month because you deserve that, right? Right. Next shout out goes out to LaSalle and Ava Cutlip for being on my last two shows. I really appreciate you. Let's talk success, LaSalle. Ava Cutlip, keep doing your thing. Following you on social media is so much fun. Love watching you grow and be the amazing actress, model, dancer, triple threat that you are. Actually singing too. Gosh, you do so much. Quadruple threat. Thank you for all your support with my show and for being on my show, certainly. And the last shout out goes to, this is a hard one, you guys. This is a hard pill to swallow. It was so hard to go into work this week, knowing that my 49ers, oh my goodness, that's all I got to say, 49er. And just everybody goes, oh boy, Tammy, because I am the biggest 49er fan that you could possibly imagine. And with that being said, it broke my heart to see what took place this weekend. It was absolutely just traumatizing. I mean, for those of you that missed out on last weekend's playoff game, oh, my God. So here we are. We make it to the playoffs with no quarterback, right? Our quarterback is Garoppolo. Garoppolo, I was never sold on Garoppolo. When you have people like Joe Montana, Steve Young, you know, Jeff Garcia, Alex Smith, when you have the best of the best, and then you have somebody like Garoppolo, who's a summertime guy. I just was never totally sold on him. Never totally sold on him. So then he gets hurt. Then you get Trey Lance. And he gets hurt. Second string. So now we're on our third string, right? Purdy. Now Purdy, he just came out of nowhere. Nobody knew who this cat was. And he just won like seven games straight and was absolutely amazing. So he gets out there on the field, and he does damage for seven games, gets us into the playoffs. So much respect for him. So here I am talking all the smack, and this is what you don't do, right? I feel like I cursed my team. I talk all the smack. I didn't really talk smack. Well, I talk smack to my friends, right? But I post this amazing post about Purdy and the top 10 reasons. I do a lot of research. I do research, and I'm making this, like, poster on an app on my phone. And then just as I'm about to, like, save it, the whole thing erased. Took me an hour to do the research, put everything out there about why I think the top 10 reasons of why Purdy should be our quarterback permanently for the 49ers. And the whole thing erases. So I'm super mad. I go for it again. Another hour doing the research, put it on the app, on this flyer that I'm about to put for Instagram, and the whole thing erases again. And I'm determined. I'm going to do this. So I type it all out, and I do even further research. I'm like, okay, well, you know what? I'm just going to keep. So, anyway, I put this post out there, and then what happens? The first quarter, Eagles versus 49ers. And guess what? Purdy gets hurt. Oh, my gosh. So now we have a fourth-string quarterback. And it was painful. It was so painful. It was painful. Painful to watch. Purdy gets hurt. And then Johnson. Who is Johnson? Johnson gets out there. We just doomed. So anyway, we lost to the Eagles. Good job, Eagles. My Super Bowl was Dallas against, you know, San Francisco. That was my Super Bowl. We beat the Cowboys. That's all that really matters to me. The rest is history. Go Chiefs. I'm gonna root for Chiefs, not because I'm hating on Philly, but because I think Mahomes is the man. He's the man. He's a QB and he's doing things, and I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league today. He unquestionably is absolutely amazing. But you know what? We're going to switch gears. Enough about that. So shout out to my 49ers. I still love you. Purdy, I still think you should start, but you need to get over this injury. It's a bad one. Eagles, do not be dirty birdies. And, you know, stay away from my Purdy. Stay away from Mahomes. Mahomes is injured. Stay away from him. Don't like, win legit. Don't try to get people hurt. Like, let's have a real legit game. All right, enough of that. Enough of American football, right? Football is a whole other thing across the world, right? Football is not the American football that we have. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And I'm so excited. I'm super excited to finally have the first professional soccer player to be on the Miss Tim TKO radio show tonight. You know, who's a soccer player? I've never had a soccer player. And the first soccer player on my show tonight is a female soccer player. So that's power. I've got goosebumps. She played at Cal State Northridge. She was rookie of the year there. She broke the record for the most appearances as a senior. She played pro soccer in Switzerland and Spain. Just saying. She competed with the Portland Thorns reserves. At this time, she's actually playing with the Armenian national team and the Santa Clarita Blue Heat at UWS. She's also coaching and giving back to her community, which I love seeing those posts about her giving back and coaching, giving all the blessings back to her team, which, you know, not to the team, but to the young women who are struggling out there in professional sports. I love this about her. She's a director at the California Athletic Soccer Club, which is amazing. So I want to give a warm welcome and shout out to my guest tonight, who is Miss Sydney Vermillion. You are about to be live on air in 2 seconds. Let me see. Sydney, are you there?
I am. Thank you so much for having me.
Yay. Absolutely. Thank you for being on my show.
Of course. Like,
yes, I'm so excited to have you on my show tonight. You're absolutely amazing. I just got your IG message, like, because it's been a day, girl. It has been a day at work.
It has.
And so I'm just like, oh, my gosh. You sent me that at noon. I have not checked my phone. Barely ate lunch today, working hard at my job, and then coming home to have you on my show. And I'm super excited, but I apologize for getting to you late on that link. I hope that your friends are connecting via phone, via link, whatever it is. I'm just so happy to have you on my show. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
No, of course. Thank you. And please don't apologize. I totally understand the mama hustle and grind. So totally get it. And I think I was able to get the phone number and link and everything. So I think I got it up for everyone who wanted to listen.
That's awesome. Thank you for that. And, you know, I want to start with telling everybody how we met, because it was really cool, actually. My daughter, Brianna, was in an Under Armour commercial shoot with you, which is so cool in itself. And, you know, we had all these young girls who aspire to be, you know, an amazing soccer player, whether it be professional, high school, whatever it is. they aspire to be like, you know, like you. And the folks that you had, the women that you had around you, they, all the little girls were over there looking at your table during lunch going, oh my gosh, I want to be like them. This is who I'm going to be when I grow up. And they were pairing themselves up to who they look like. And they're like, I'm going to be her. I'm going to be her. And they all paired with a different person because I was beautiful. And they aspired to be like you. It was a long, long filming day, but just so much good came out of it. And I saw your love just for, not just for the sport, but just for even giving back and the coaching and the love for helping young women, which just, you know, thank you for that because my daughter gained so much from that commercial shoot. So let's start there. Let's start there. Like, how was that day for you? Like, how did you get that commercial and what was that day like for you?
So when it comes to like the commercial work and stuff, I'm going to be honest, I think I get pretty lucky with it because I don't have an agent or anything like that. I just submit myself and kind of cross my fingers and say a prayer. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't, but for the Under Armour one, it worked out and was so fun getting to work with the girls and I could see how nervous they were. So I kind of wanted to like ease the anxiety for them and like hype them up, pump them up. And I think they did a great job.
Yeah, it was so much fun. They just were mesmerized by you all. And it just looking at, you know, the older girls and like, oh my gosh. But then you were like the star of the show. And it was crazy because my family, we were in Vegas and we were at the outlets and I'm like, oh my God. My daughter was like, what? And we saw you on this huge billboard that kind of brought it to life. And it was like, oh, my gosh, I work with her.
Oh my God,
we were telling the
so
store
crazy.
That. And it was just so fun. Yeah, it was
yeah,
cool.
I don't think I haven't been able to get to an Under Armour store yet, but I've been getting pictures from, like, friends and family. And I have to say it's pretty surreal. And then, like, I don't know, I just feel super blessed being able to have these, like, opportunities and chances and stuff. So I just feel really lucky to have the opportunity to, you know, be able to – you know, shoot some cool photos and meet cool people and do some cool things.
That's awesome. You know, you're blessed, but you're also like talented. And so people see that and talent just speaks for itself. You know, when you have that talent, you have the know-how and you have the drive, you have the look, all those things working for you, you know, it's just the sky is the limit. So, you know, really proud of you and excited to see where your career takes you next. With everything. I mean, because it's a full package, you know?
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot.
Absolutely. So I want to get right into it. You know, tell me about yourself and like what brought you to soccer? Like what's your story? Like what is it about soccer that thing, that passion, that drive? But tell us about your story.
So I grew up playing softball. My dad was very like adamant about having me play softball and I'm sure he's listening right now cause he's my number one fan. So hello dad, love you. But he decided to sign me up for sports and was very much about like softball and then threw me into soccer. And I think I just like, I had a God given talent of just being really fast. And so I had a lot of speed in the game and I had the touch of an elephant. And couldn't really do much, but I really loved running and playing and learning the game. And then a few years later, my dad signed me up for club soccer, and I played on a club team for a while and then ended up getting, like, really competitive and started to really love just my teammates and my coach and all of those things that came with it and decided to try out for a really, really competitive team and tried out for them, and I made the team, and the team ended up being, like, top 10 in the country. And so I was able to compete at that level and caliber and was recruited from that team to go play college and then learned so much playing college ball from my coach over at CSUN, Keith West. He taught me so much about defense and just the game and my IQ behind it. And then I really wanted to keep pursuing it like after college and then just kind of always had a dream of wanting to play for a national team. And so I just kept putting, like, the work in and the work in because I didn't come with just, like, natural raw soccer ability. Like, I really had to work at it. So I just kept working and training and training. And then a friend of mine, Nancy Avesian, was playing for the national team and said, hey, like, do you want to come play? When I just had my daughter and just kind of wasn't in the healthiest relationship and couldn't play, and then kind of took a step back, refocused on myself, and I decided, you know, to leave that relationship. And she called me again. She said, how about now? And I was like, you know what? I would love to. And I jumped out, had a trial with the national team, and just everything's been a whirlwind since then.
Wow. That's absolutely amazing. So wait a minute. So after college, where did you go? Where exactly did you play after Cal State Northridge?
So after
college.
I do got
to mention, you were rookie of the year, which is huge. That's big.
I was.
I just wanted to just give you accolades on that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, and I played with so many talented girls too, but was lucky enough to get rookie of the year my freshman year, and then I broke the record for most appearances my senior year. And I had really wanted to go pro, but the year I graduated college, the women's pro league had folded. And so I was kind of coming out of college, like, what do I do now? I played in some like semi-professional leagues. And then I had another friend who was playing professionally in Switzerland, Ryan Torero, who currently plays for a pro team in Chile and has been the keeper for the Chilean national team as well. She asked me, hey, would you consider coming and playing overseas in Switzerland? My team's looking for a defender. And I was like, of course. And so I kind of just talked to the coaches in Switzerland, quit my jobs, and just jumped over and started playing over there. And then, again, thankfully, the network that I was lucky to have is I had friends that were playing professionally in Spain, and they told me to come out for a trial for some teams in Spain. So I went and tried out for them, but unfortunately, like, financially, it just wasn't enough money for me to, like, live there and still support myself at home. So I had to come back. And so I was trying to go play in the women's pro league that had just opened up a few years later after I got back, and was able to go play with the Portland Thorns Reserves. And I was trying my hardest to get a tryout with the full team. But I think the coach was very adamant about who he had coming, playing for him and trying out. So I didn't get that opportunity, and then just kind of been playing semi-professionally since. And then that's when, you know, cut to the national team stuff kind of happened while I was playing with Blue Heat, which, to be honest, the Blue Heat team that I play for in the UWS is, it's so competitive and has probably some of the best women soccer players come through it before they go play in their leagues in Norway or Sweden or Canada or Jamaica or anywhere. So I've been really blessed to play against some really, really, or with some really talented women.
That's amazing. You know, and I want to touch on that. I mean, that's amazing, by the way. I mean, that's one of the coolest things about sports is that, you know, the journey of being able to travel. Like, I know being a boxer, you know, it allowed me, and being in the boxing business as well for myself, like, it allowed me to travel and experience new things. And that's kind of a cool perspective too, because just being able to get out in the world and see that we're such a small speck in this world. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many,
yes, it's life-changing.
So many talented people.
Yeah.
So life-changing, right? Just when you think, like, your world, like, in college, right? You're like, oh, my God, these girls are amazing. Then you go on a pro level, it's like another – it's another level. It's another level. And some of those girls are probably good enough to – some of those women are probably good enough to go pro, right, that were in college. But you, now you're on an elite level, right, when you go overseas and you see the talent there. Because, you know, soccer, it's football. It's like, the biggest sport, like – in the world, like, it's different than American football.
Yeah.
is big here. American soccer is big here too, but it's not like it is when you go to Europe. So, like, what was it like? I just want to get your perspective on that. Europe, like, playing soccer in Europe, what was that versus the United States? And this is no diss on the United States. I love the United States, but I'm just saying, what was that at that level like for you versus the United States, just because it's on a different, yeah. I just want to get your perspective.
Of course. So I want to say this was probably back in like 2014, 15. So the league has developed tremendously since then. And girls in sports right now are being offered so many more opportunities than what we were offered. So proud of where women's sports has come in that sense in America. In Europe, I highly recommend if you're a soccer player that you go do a stint in Europe, because just the way everyone handles the game and how much passion everyone has in it, and just, you know, everyone in the village that you're in or the town or the city knows the soccer team and like knows you're one of the soccer players. And it's just, it's really cool to be in something that like an entire city supports. Like you have a game, like the whole village closes down and come watches the game. You get to travel to all different parts of, you know, in Switzerland, I got to travel to the Italian side, to the French side, to the German side, and got to just experience so many different cultures and like different styles of, you know, soccer and all of that. And then in Spain, it just was a whole different level. Like football is life over there. And it's just, I think I gained like a more like love of the game and passion, just because you see how passionate people are in Spain. And I got to go watch Real Madrid in a Champions League game over there, and just like watching the fans and like people chanting as they walk down, you know, the old town Madrid and all of that, just up to the stadium, and just hearing how loud the fans are and how passionate, they're crying when they win and they're crying when they lose. Like it's just a whole different element that, I don't know, it kind of like connected me more to the game a little bit, I think, because I just saw like, all right, like I can fall in love with it like this much and be this passionate in something that I love, and these fans love it just as much. So I highly recommend it. If I had to like compare it to the U.S. League, I obviously, being born and raised as a California girl, I think we have the best league in the world. I think in America, we have the best talent. I think in Southern California, we have the most competition because we're able to play soccer pretty much year-round. So I think the competition here in the States was harder than it was in Switzerland, minus the, like, top three teams. But, again, super blessed to be born in Southern California and be able to play against, like, such talented athletes, because I don't think I would be the athlete I am if I didn't play against those type of girls and girls that were better than me, faster than me, stronger than me, and made me work on my weaknesses. So I don't think it gets any better than the NWSL, but I do think there's a ton, again, back in 2014-15, but I do think there's a ton of talent that's just kind of, like, lingering in those leagues. In Europe as well.
Absolutely. And I love what you said too. It's like, you know, to be the best, you kind of have to be around the best, because they challenge you. You know, and I just compare it like with boxing. You know, if I boxed against somebody that was not as good as me, then it would not make me better. And I hate to say that, but like, I always try to be around folks that were better than me. Like, I would spar with this girl that was like an Olympian, like champion, and she would, you know, she would get me. She would tag me if I was in her line, you know, if I was in her way. So it taught me to block, you know, because I don't want to get hit. The whole key with boxing is hit, stick and move, hit and don't get hit. So definitely I think being around, you know, other female athletes that were like, even like challenged you, right, that challenged you, were either better better or had more skill, like that to me is really important too. And it kind of keeps you humble and it keeps you hungry to want more, which is, it's inspiring, really. It's inspiring. And then when you reach that level, that you're like, you're getting, you know, you're getting a goal past them, or, you know, you're doing something to where you feel like you're leveling up against that opponent because they got you at that level. That's just like a triumph, right? Like, have you ever had a moment like that where you like, tell us about a moment that you felt like you leveled up because like somebody was maybe, you felt like they were better than you, but then you leveled up. Do you have an experience that kind of stands out in your mind?
I want to,
you don't have to say a name or anything.
My entire, I think, like, after playing professionally and kind of like, well, I'm still playing with the national team, but I go and train with men a lot, constantly, because men just genetically, and I'm saying genetically, faster, stronger. They can cut a little bit quicker than we can. So I love going and training with men because they challenge me and they push me and they make me better. And so I think that stands out to me because I love going out and playing with my guy friends and being able to be challenged by them. And I think when I first would go out and play with them before they became my friends, they're like, oh gosh, who is this chick play with us? Like, she probably doesn't have any touch, she's probably not that good, she's going to slow the game down. And it's just natural because that's just how it is. And so I don't take it as like, let me be sensitive and be like, oh my gosh, they think I'm not good. I go in and I'm like, you know what? I love to prove people wrong and I love to show them, you know, like my skill and my passion. And like, I don't care if you're 6'4", like I'm going to bring my 5'5" self in and do the best I can. And I think that coming into like trainings and games, being, you know, a female competing with men and earning their respect, I think, and being an equal to them to some extent when it comes to soccer, I think that's like my biggest triumph because I feel like I earned it. And for me, that keeps me hungry. Like I really want to earn being able to play against these men and like defend them and be better and like learn how like fast they cut the ball. Like how can I cut the ball that fast? So I think for me, that has always been a triumph is like stepping on the field with men and being seen as an equal. And I think that really has done wonders for me and my determination. And also, I have a terrible ego that hates losing more than it likes winning. So I just kept grinding and kept going after it. So
I love that. No, that's cool. That's cool. Keep that ego. Keep it. Keep it because that's what your drive. That's where your drive and your inspiration comes from. You know, I did the same thing. I had all brothers, you know, no sisters. And so always had to hold my own. Master's degree in sports management, kinesiology, like one of three women in the class, you know, all men. So I had to stay 10 times ahead of that, you know, curve to, you know, study my fantasy football like 20 times harder than them so that I would beat them at that. And that competitive edge, never lose that, never lose that. So speaking of, because you touched on that, we got to get into this. I mean, no offense to men because – love y'all. And honestly, like, it drives me too. I would spar against guys all the time, and I would try to tag them. I would try to tag them, but then they would tag me back. So I had to watch, you know, sparring, you're not trying to hurt people. You're trying to learn. You're trying to learn. But it was fun to see where you were at. So I get you 100%. But, you know, you posted – I noticed that you posted, you know, Happy National Women's Sports Day, which I think is absolutely amazing that, you know, you are inspiring young women out there. You know, I see it with my own daughter in the commercial. I see it with the coaching and directing, you know, with your, you know, where you're at right now at the athletic club, which I have so much respect for. Giving back to me is everything. That's something why I called Leila Ali out because she was not doing that. I'll tell you that story later. But it was bad, and that's why I called her out, because I was mad that she wasn't giving back to young women's sports, because there's a whole thing about that, right? We're going to get into that. So being a female pro athlete, you know, it definitely has its perks, especially, you know, but it's not treated the same. You touched on that earlier. It's not treated the same as male sports. There are so many disparities that women face in sports. So I want to talk about that and how you're going to be a game changer today as a woman, pro athlete. How are you going to be that game changer? What are the disparities you face? Let's talk about all of that, because that to me is cutting edge, and it's something that needs to change. And for you to be in Spain and have the best time of your life and not be able to sustain yourself and be able to live off of those wages, but be so respected. It's like it's a give and take, but you should not be compensated. You should be compensated for what you did, and you were not fairly compensated. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. So how do you feel about the disparities in women's soccer specifically?
Oh, Tammy, you're going to get me started on spilling some tea. But so the disparities for me, I think since I was playing back in the day, in the leagues has completely changed. I think women are making a living playing in Spain, in La Liga, in the Premier League, in NWSL. I think financially the girls have gotten and have been in a much better place, getting endorsements, all of that stuff. I would say my discretion right now, and I guess my biggest criticizing moment, is me with my national team when it comes to disparities. Armenia, and don't get me wrong, I'm so proud to be Armenian. I love the country. I love the people. I love my teammates. I love everything that I've ever experienced in Armenia culturally. But when it comes to soccer and the federation, they put me probably the darkest point I've been in a really long time because of the disparities between the men and the women's team. Just to touch just a little bit on it, not going to like a ton of detail yet, but our men's team gets, you know, Normatec, all of these extra things, certified athletic trainers, and we don't. They get to play in the stadiums in Armenia, and because we had lost a few games, they decided we weren't good enough to play in the stadiums anymore. We had, you know, people come out who, you know, are athletic trainers wanting to help us and tape us up and give us everything we could. And the federation said, no, we don't want them in our locker room. And I struggle to understand why at a national team level that we don't have the same opportunities as our men's national team does, and why we don't have equal rights to use the men's equipment or the men's things, you know, without the men being around. And I've been going through like my own struggles with the disparity because I haven't been invited back to camp or anything since November. And I have no idea why. I started every single match for World Cup qualifiers. I gave my heart out. We had some brutal losses, and I can say proudly, I never stopped fighting in every single game. I did my best. And I wasn't invited, and I don't know why. No one's spoken anything to me. My teammates, a handful of them, have not been invited back either. And I just think that there's a big disparity when it comes to countries like Armenia, where us as women are not, I guess, seen on the same level, or that's how I've interpreted it, as our male counterparts. And it's a real frustrating thing that I kind of been keeping to myself, but I feel like I need to eventually talk about it, and I was thinking now is the best time to talk about it.
Well, I appreciate you opening up and sharing that. I mean, have you tried to reach out to anyone? Do you know anybody personally that you've tried to reach out to, or is it too hard for them to really talk about it politically, so that they don't lose their spot? You know what I mean? Is it taboo for them to talk about it?
I mean, I know everyone in the federation. I was brought in by some wonderful women. Lilith and Anna brought me into the federation and the national team, and they were really trying to like revive the women's national team because the national team didn't exist for about 8 years. They had completely cut off all funding for the women's national team. And we just recently had come back, I want to say like 2 or 3 years ago. And so these wonderful women came into the federation, were like, we need to bring more awareness to women's soccer. And they brought us in with such like high hopes and, you know, not promises, but just like, hey, these are the beginning stages of what our team is going to look like. And we get to be, you know, like the 99ers were for me with the United States. Like I wanted to be that for Armenia and those Armenian girls who have no idea we have a national team. It's really hard to make the U.S. women's national team, really hard. It's competitive. We have the best athletes, but there's other national teams that can be just as talented. And I wanted to show Armenian girls growing up in Southern California or wherever that you can go play for Armenia. And so we had all these high hopes and everything, and just things slowly started to like fall apart. And there's not a lot of communication from the federation or from our coaches about what's going on or why things are happening. I don't speak Armenian fluently, but always had like a translator there with me. And I was told that the coach and the federation was going to reach out to me to talk about things, and no one reached out to me or talked to me about. So I have no idea. I have no idea who I could talk to, who I could reach out to. The two wonderful women that I give all the credit to of why that national team is a national team. They were let go from the Soccer Federation. And from what I heard, one of them was fired because she was sick and missed a day of work, and that was the reason why they let her go.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, so it's a hard thing to navigate right now, and I'm not really one to, like, stir the pot or, like, cause issues or anything, but my teammates in Armenia make $100 a month playing in the professional league, and they cut two of the teams in the pro league already for the women. These girls' livelihood come from playing soccer, and they're not inviting them back to the national team because of reasons that nobody knows. And even for me, I've heard some ridiculous reasons about why I haven't been invited, but I haven't heard it from – it's all hearsay. It's telephone for me. But the telephone that I received of, you know, the coaches just don't like me, where I don't even speak Armenian, so I haven't even had, like, I'm just a player on the field, or my daughter is, you know, too much of a burden coming to the training camps, and they don't want to, you know, financially have the burden of bringing her there, are just really, I don't know, for me, like, horrible things to hear, because it doesn't reflect anything on my, like, soccer ability and my talent and my heart and how much I give to the national team and how much I, you know, put towards it. And so it's been really frustrating for me to, I don't know, when we talk about, like, you reach that elite level and you accomplish your goals and they're just kind of, like, snatched away from you.
Right. And then, I mean, so I'm tripping too, like, backing it up a little bit. $100 a month. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So I just want to know, on average, like, do you know how much a pro soccer player, a male pro soccer player in Armenia, like, what that looks like? What was that? What
I don't
that
know
salary
what
look
I don't
like?
I don't know what the men's salary looks like in Armenia. I've never asked what the men make. I probably should ask, but I think I haven't, because I just don't want to be super disappointed in the answer. But I even know, you know, like, in the women's league here, I think it used to be like $800 was like the minimum a month that some girls were making. And I think it's gone up to like between $1,200 and $1,600 for like the lower paid professional players. But I mean, comparing just that to $100 a month, and these girls have to be ready to train every single day, play in games, go to Champions League, all of this stuff with just $100 a month.
Yeah, because it's like, how much does it cost to live out there? You know what I mean? Like, what does that look like? I mean, just $100 a month, that does not,
that's I think they
insane.
Live
I'm going to have
about
to look at that.
I think they live with a handful of teammates, and I think I've seen, I've been to their homes before. They live with each other, and I want to say there's like 3 to 4 girls that like usually like room together, unless financially the parents are able to support their daughters playing, and then the parents will rent and pay for somewhere for the girl to live, like, by themselves, if they choose to.
So I just Googled, you know, just to, because I'm like, you know, I'm curious about this now. Like, now you got my, like, offline, we'll talk about some strategies on how I can help you. Because, like, offline, I want to help you offline. But, you know, I look at the New York Times and it says, as of May 19, 2022, not that long ago, under the terms of, so U.S. soccer and women's players agree to settle equal pay lawsuit. That's encouraging. That's encouraging.
It is, but there's also a lot of fine print. A lot of fine print.
Okay. A lot of fine print. Yep.
Yeah, I think our women's,
like,
national team for the United States is incredible. Like, these women are ballers. They're mothers. They're role models. They are baddies and deserve so much more than what they're getting. And they're fighting for it, and we're slowly getting there. And future generations are going to be able to, you know, accomplish the things and, like, play with equal pay and all of that. But it's just been – definitely been a struggle. And the U.S., I will give accolades to them for, like, doing a much better job. But I want to say the rest of the world is where the struggle comes from. And I have friends who play on other national teams in other countries. And it's all the same story of financially we're struggling. If they just don't like us as human beings, they won't invite us back to camp. They'll sabotage us for whatever our future playing endeavors are. And it's just been, and no one talks about it. And I'm terrified to talk about it, but I feel like someone needs to talk about it. And I think there just needs to be more awareness. And with Armenia, there's this really wonderful nonprofit called Elevate Armenia that is raising money to put towards young girls soccer, because the federation isn't putting money into it. They're not helping, you know, grassroots soccer players in Armenia. And Elevate Armenia has been raising money and putting it into teams so the young girls in Armenia can have access to soccer and coaches and fields and uniforms and cleats and things like that. So if anybody, you know, listening wants to donate to Elevate Armenia, I'll post a link in my profile and my Instagram if anyone would like to, because I just think they're doing so much good. And I think that the more the girls come up grassroots, I think that might help the federation realize, like, okay, I guess we need to care about women's soccer a little bit more, because they're starting to get better. They're starting to get talented. They're starting to put more time into it as, you know, younger kids and girls growing up in Armenia. So I'm hoping it gets there eventually.
And please, like, share that with me. Share that post, you know, with me. Tag
Absolutely.
Me in that
I
so that I can put
Absolutely.
That out there, too. Because I have
you.
Friends internationally, you know, and so many, you know, so that's really frustrating. And I'm sorry that you're dealing with that, because that's a very frustrating thing. But it's a frustrating thing in women's sports, period. You know, one of my jobs in grad school was to – I worked for the Golden State Warriors basketball team. That was one of my undergrad internships that I got paid for. I was very blessed and lucky to have a paid internship with the Golden State Warriors. And I worked in like 5 different departments. I had the best time. And one of my jobs, I was doing game operations. That was one of the sectors that I worked in. And one of the jobs was to pull, like, during a WNBA game, it was like the women's U.S., like, it's like the top of the top. Like, Lisa Leslie was playing, okay, the top of the top against Canada. So the U.S. team, women's, like, WNBA against Canada at the Warriors Coliseum. And I had to pull, like, my job that night, it killed me. I had to pull the fans from the 300 level, like, from the top level, and 200, actually not 300, my bad. There's nobody in the 300, nobody. So I had to pull the fans from the 200 level down to the 100 level because they couldn't sell it out. And that killed me. And it was all for television so that it could look like a sold out crowd. So they put the television, they put the cameras all in the first level because nobody would go up to the second level. And in the warmups, Lisa Leslie like dunked. And I was like, dang, that's, you know, amazing. But she didn't do it in the game. And I'm like, maybe if in the game she did that, you know, people. But it's like, it was so discouraging because I was like, this breaks my heart that you go to a Warriors game. And at that time, the Warriors sucked. They would be winning the first 2 quarters. And then like the last 2, they would like, they would suck. They were like, the second half, they would lose. So that was back in the day when I worked for them. And they would fill the Coliseum, like 300 level nosebleeds. But yet here we have a WNBA team, the best, the top female athletes in WNBA, and they can't fill just the lower level. Like, just, they didn't fill the lower level, and they didn't fill, like, people were in the second level, nobody in the third. And it killed me that my job was to pull the people from the second level down to the, I mean, they were very happy that they got down to that level, but it was really discouraging for me to see that. And that just was like, what is going on? Is it the marketing? It made me question a lot because I was getting my master's in that sports management kinesiology. So I was really trying to concentrate my field, like, around, you know, Pamela Oliver came to my class, Aaron Andrews, like, we had some really famous greats there. At the time, I was commentating for ESPN2, covering men's soccer, and nothing about women, like, at all. So it just really discourages me, but I will say that women's soccer has came a long way, a long, long way. WNBA has come a long way. Women's boxing, it's working. But MMA, I think women's MMA is a little bit more popular at this moment. But that could have been a game changer had Leila Ali did her thing, but she did not. No, not going there right now. But I'm just saying that don't stop the fight. You know, you have a lot of girls that are looking for your encouragement, for inspiration in this. And what I love about you is that you coach and you're giving back to the sport. Not only do you play and have you played, you've played the sport. You're still playing the sport. You're still advocating for the sport. You're still a voice for the sport, even through the adversity that you've been through. But now you are a voice for the sport. And it starts today. It starts now. And it started before that. But I just want to say, don't stop the fight. And I love that you're coaching. So let's talk about that. What does coaching do for you? And how do you get past that disparity with the girls that you're coaching? Like, what do you tell them in your situation?
I just try to inspire them the best way that I can. I think I went into like a really dark hole after I didn't get invited, and I didn't know why I didn't get invited to the national team. So I kind of really had to like dig deep and like ask myself, like, why do I play this sport? Like, why do I want to play with the national team? Like, what are my goals with it? Because I know we're not going and winning any World Cups. I know we're not, you know, going out there and playing against Norway and tying them or beating them. I'm going out there because I just want to inspire the next generation, and I want to make them fall in love with the game as much as I've fallen in love with it. And I want them to have all of these experiences that I've gone to experience. And I know so many wonderful human beings because of soccer, and my best friends are all soccer players, and just the core group of people that are in my life are all because of soccer. So when I go and coach and I talk with my players and I coach girls and boys, I just try to like inspire them to like love it and have the passion for it. And like, no matter who tells you no, like there's nothing better than like proving somebody wrong. And I'm like just a big advocate of like kill everyone with kindness, kind of in a sense, but like, prove yourself without words. So, you know, like you don't need to speak volumes or be loud. You can just, you know, look at the scoreboard and you win just with that. So I think that I just try to pass along those like life lessons and those things to my players. And mental health, I think, is like a big thing that's coming up with my athletes, especially like post pandemic. And so I think like being the director of the club that I'm in, I get to kind of like bring that to the forefront as well, and like talk to our coaches about it, and like try to, you know, be a game changer, I guess, in that sense with my athletes, because I want them to be inspired and be confident and just all these things that come with being like a well-rounded human being. And the sport gave me so much and is still giving me so much that I feel like no matter how many years I coach or how many private lessons I do or anything like that, like I'm just never going to be able to give back as much as I got from it.
That's amazing. You know, I love that about, I mean, you're humble. You're everything that a coach would want on their team. And it's just devastating to hear, you know, your story and the disparities and why people won't let you in. But at the same time, I love the fight in you, the tiger in you that keeps you going and inspiring, you know, young athletes to keep, you know, doing their best and keep staying the course, because there is light at the end of the tunnel. And I believe that we are making strides. We are making strides. And it kind of sucks. I will say, like, it took almost like the woman, this is horrible to me that I forgot her name right now. I'm drawing a blank. The woman that took her shirt off when she won the World
Brandi
Cup.
Chastain.
And that's like when soccer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, why did it take that to change women? Like, that put women's soccer on the map. It took
that moment.
And I'm like,
that moment inspired me to want to be like the most amazing, hardworking. I wanted a moment like Brandi Chastain. That's what inspired me. I watched that and I was like, I wanted a moment like that.
I have goosebumps right now. Like, that moment changed women's soccer indefinitely.
Yeah.
It did. It put women's soccer on the map, 100%. Would you agree with that?
I completely agree.
I mean, that was just such a moment. Just the whole, the victory, just the triumph that she went through. But I just love the fact that you coach. But not only are you a player, an athlete, and a coach, you're a mommy too. So I want to know how
yeah.
you balance that out. Like, how do you work out? How do you play soccer? And how do you be a coach? Like, how does that work? When do you sleep?
A lot of caffeine, a lot of trips to Starbucks. And for my friends that know me, Starbucks every morning, afternoon, sometimes nighttime. I'm a single mama and I don't really get a ton of help besides from like my mom. But I try to train early in the mornings when I can with my trainer. His name is Bradley. He's with First Strike Soccer. Shout out to the homie, because he is absolutely the most incredible trainer and works with my crazy mom schedule. And I don't think I would even be half as good as I am without him training me. So I try to train as much as I can in the mornings, or like my daughter's father takes her every other weekend. So I try to get out on the field as much as I can. When I do have her, she comes with me everywhere. She comes to all training, all practices, all events, everything, because it's just me and her, and hiring a babysitter is expensive. And so she is part of me and is my assistant coach at games, is my teammate on the national team. She's just a part of me. And I think my greatest role in life is mom, and I wouldn't trade it for the world, but I do feel like I have to still accomplish so many things with soccer, and I want her to see, you know, like, as a woman, you can do whatever you put your mind to. And it doesn't matter your situation or anything like that, like being a single mom, that I can still go play for the national team and go play, you know, semi-pro over the summers, and I can still go on commercial shoots when I get lucky, or coach, you know, 17 teams in one season and bond with hundreds of girls. I just want her to see that, like, if she puts her mind to it, like, she can do it and accomplish it. And I hope one day she likes soccer or is passionate about whatever she does. But it's exhausting. It's tiring. I lack in friendship sometimes, being there for everybody, because I am being mom. But again, I have such an amazing core group of friends who love me for who I am and what my life is, and love my daughter, and my teams love my daughter. And I guess I'm blessed to have the circle and the community that I have around me. When they say it takes a village, like, it really takes a village, and I am so lucky to have the village that I have.
That's awesome. You know, my hat goes off to you for being a role model, a super mom, and an inspiration to your daughter and other women. You know, speaking of inspiration, who challenges you and inspires you to be the best version of you? Like, is there anyone out there that you would say is like your biggest inspiration to keep you challenged and motivated and inspired to do the things that you're doing?
You know what? I don't mean to sound cliche, but I think my daughter and the haters, my daughter and the haters. Just like people telling me like I can't do things, or that like I'm washed up and like I'm too old, and like all of this stuff, I think like inspires me more, because I'm just, again, my ego does not let me accept what people say, and I just always feel like I want to prove people wrong. But also like my daughter, like I didn't grow up with a lot, you know. I lived in a 2-bedroom house with my brother and my dad. We never went on vacation. I'd never left California, really. And so I wanted just a different lifestyle for my daughter. And I want to give her the opportunities that I never had. So just like looking at her and like wanting to give her everything just keeps me motivated. Like, I can't take days off. Like, I can't be sick. You know, we can't be sick. We have to still be moms. You know, like, can't be sick. We still have to support our children. And, like, can't be sick. We still have to be good role models. And so I think she has inspired me more than anything to do that. And, yeah, when she looks at me and just watches me playing soccer, or just, like, when she comes to national team games and she's there, like, I'm just so proud, like, to be her mom and, like, have her there. And she was able to come out with me on one of our matches. Like, she got to stand with me during the national anthem. And I have a photo with, like, all my teammates. And then she's just there, and I'm just looking at her. Like, everything that I do, I just want it, you know, to inspire her. And I want her to eventually think, like, my mom was pretty cool back in the day, because, you know, that's all we aspire to be, is, like, we want to be the cool mom to our kids. And I think that's what I'm trying to do for her, that eventually when she gets older, be like, Mom, you were pretty cool. And life would be great. Life would be great if I can get there.
That's so cool. Yeah, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Being a mom, I think, is probably definitely the most rewarding thing. And, you know, right now we're getting toward the end of the show, but I just want to thank you so much for joining me on the show and offering a new perspective to men that are listening. And I hope they're listening right now. I hope they're listening right
now
to what you're bringing to the table.
I hope so too.
You're coming from a great place. You know, you're coming from a great place. And I thank you too for giving ladies inspiration to, you know, and to follow their dreams and not be afraid and be the game changer and be the change. You know, there's leaders in this world and there's followers and there's, you know, I think there's two. And I definitely 100% think that you're a leader. You're speaking up. I'm proud of you tonight for doing that. And I just want to ask, like, how can people follow you so that they can follow your career? Because I know there's a lot of people listening tonight. My phone is blowing up. People are really inspired. How can people follow you
now? Well, I mean, if people want to follow me on Instagram, I post a lot on there. My handle's at Syd Vermi, which is SYDVERMI. I'm going to be posting, like, a lot of stuff that has to do with, like, Armenia and the national team. And even though I'm not with the national team right now and haven't been invited to camp, I really want to do everything I can to support women's soccer in Armenia because I love it so much. So I'll be posting stuff with Elevate Armenia as well, and getting them connected with whoever needs to, so we can fundraise there and bring soccer to the girls of Armenia, because I think they deserve it. And they're such little ballers. And, you know, when you look at them, all you want is just to give them the world. So my social media, Instagram, would probably be the best place to help out and follow the journey.
Awesome. Well, please tag me so that I can repost that, because I so want to support you and your journey and other women that are struggling as well, that just want to see that light at the end of the tunnel. And I believe it's out there. I really do. I believe that there is light at the end of the tunnel. I want to help you achieve that. And I just wish you nothing but blessings and success. And want to thank you so much for being on my show. It really means a lot that you took the time to do this. I know you're super busy. You squeezed it in. But I really appreciate you, and I know so many people out there really appreciate the wisdom and your story that you shared tonight. So thank you so much.
No, thank you so much for having me. Like, I really appreciate you taking the time, you know, to make a little time slot for me and let me tell my story and let me share my experiences. So thank you so much for that.
Absolutely. Well, we're about to be cut off in 2 seconds. I just want to wish you the best of luck. And and just make sure everybody follows you. And I will repost what you tag so people will follow you. Thank you again. And you stay blessed, and wish you nothing but success. All right, my friend.
Thank you. You too. Okay, bye.
All right. Take care.